So let's review. Our daf began on the bottom of daf Yud Beis Amud Beis with the famous Mishnah of Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Harei Ani Kevin Shiv Mishana, in which we saw machloikis regarding whether the mitzvah is Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim every day, applies only by day or also at night. It says in the Torah, L'man Tizkir Yisrael Tzeischa Me'eretz Mitzrayim Kol Yimei Chayecha, that one should remember Yetzias Mitzrayim all the days of his life. Eliezer ben Azariah and ben Zayim learn out from the word Kol, that you should remember Yetzias Mitzrayim all the days of your life, meaning both by day and by night. The Chacham, on the other hand, hold that the mitzvah is only by day. As for the word kol, it comes to teach us that the mitzvah to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim will continue even after Mashiach comes. And even though the Pasuk says, V'lo yomru oid chaya Hashem asher helis b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim, that after the ultimate redemption of Mashiach, Yetzias Mitzrayim will no longer be mentioned, the Gemara explains that it really means that it will no longer be mentioned as the primary redemption, but rather as only a secondary redemption. The Gemara then points to a similar scenario where Hashem told Yaakov Avinu, "V'lo yikari shemach oid Yaakov, kiyim Yisrael," that Yaakov should from then on be called Yisrael. It also meant that from then on Yisrael will be his primary name, and Yaakov will remain as his secondary name. The Gemara ends our parak by pointing out how this is different than what we find by Avram Avinu, where when Hashem changed his name from Avram to Avram, the name Avram was completely dropped, and it became forbidden to call Avram Avinu by his original name of Avram. We now begin Be'ez Hashem, the second parak, Parak HaYikara. HaYikara B'Torah V'Giyazman HaMikra. The Mishnah began by teaching us that if someone was reading from a Sefer Torah and he happened to come across the Pesukim containing Krishma, and it was also the right time to say Krishma, he is yet to the mitzvah, provided he had Kavanah. The Mishnah then goes on to discuss a machlokes between Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda about when one may interrupt reading Krishma to greet someone. The details of this machlokes will be dealt in the following shir. The Gemara begins its discussion by trying to prove from the first part of our Mishnah that mitzvah is tzrichas kavanah, that you only fulfill a mitzvah if you have intent to do so. However, the Gemara rejects this proof and explains that our Mishnah is talking about someone who is kara lagia, reading only to see if any corrections are needed. According to Rashi, this means that he was not even conscious of the fact that he was even reading out loud. In other words, even if you don't need intent to be yotze to the obligation, you at least have to be aware of what you're doing. Therefore, what the Mishnah means when it says in Kivan Liba Yatza is that if he was at least aware that he was saying the words out loud, he is Yatza. According to Tosfos, the Mishnah means that if he is sure that he pronounced the words correctly, he is Yatza. Next, the Gemara presents a Braisa in which Rabbi and Acham debate what halachas can be learned out from the words Shema and Vahoyu. According to Rabbi, Vahoyu teaches that Krishma has to be said Bahavi Yatza as it's written in Lashon HaKodesh, and the word Shema teaches that it has to be said loud enough to be heard. The Chacham disagree on both points. They don't agree that it has to be said in Hebrew, and they don't hold that it needs to be said loud enough to be heard. They say that the word Shema teaches b'chol lashon she'atu shemeya, that you can say Krishma in any language that you understand, and Vahoyu teaches that it must be said in the correct sequence. The Gemara also mentioned a question regarding whether kol haTorah kula b'chol lashon nemra, whether Torah in general has to be recited in Hebrew. Rashi says that this refers to Kriyas HaTorah throughout the year. Taisus says that it refers to the Torah whose recitations are daraisa, such as Parsha Zachar or Mikra Bikurim. The Tanur Rabban. Starting at the end of Amud Aleph, the Gemara began an extended discussion about which Pesukim of Kriyishma require Kavan. The Rishonim explained that Kavan here has a different meaning than in the earlier Gemara about Mitzvah Tzrichas Kavan. Before, the Gemara was talking about having intent to be Yoytze the Mitzvah. Now the Gemara is talking about understanding the meaning of the words. Four views are presented. It says in the parasha of Krishma, V'hoyu hadvar mo'ela asher noichim mitzavcha yim ala v'vecha. Evan agrees that the words ala v'vecha refer to having kavana. However, Rabbi Eliezer holds that kavana is required only up to that point. According to Rashi, this includes the first three psukim. According to Tosfos, it refers only to the first two psukim. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Acher, Rabbi Kiva, and Ma'azutra hold that the whole first parasha, meaning Shema and Ola Vahafta, needs Kavanah. The Gemara goes on to explain that even though the second parasha of Ahoyim Shemaya also has the words Alevavchem in the Pasuk of Besamtim es Devarai Eila Alevavchem, which seems to indicate that this paragraph also needs to have Kavanah, however, the Gemara explains that this Pasuk is really referring to Tefillin and teaches us that the Tefillin Shel Yad should be placed Alevavchem, opposite the heart, and is not at all talking about Kriyishma to have Kavanah. Rabbi Yeshua holds that both parashas require kavanah, since it says Alav Avecha by the first and Alav Avecha by the second. However, only the first parasha has to be said out loud, as it says V'debar Tabam, while the second parasha requires only kavanah but no kriya. The Gemara goes on to explain that even though the second parasha also says "ladaber bam," in the pasuk "v'lamadta moisim es b'nechem ladaber bam," which would indicate that this parasha also needs to be said out loud, however, the Gemara explains that this pasuk is really referring to teaching Torah, not to saying Krishna. A fourth view is held by Remeya and Rabu, who hold that only the first pasuk of Shema, Shema Yisrael Hashem Lekeinu Hashem Echad, requires kavana. Tosis adds that the halacha follows this view. The Gemara continues. Tanya Sumchis Aimer, Kol Amarech Be'echad, Marichin Lo Yomo V'Shnoisim. We learn in the Braisa, Sumchis says, one who elongates the saying of the word Echad will have days and years prolonged. While the main emphasis should be on the letter Dalad, he must nevertheless be careful not to cut the Ches too short. The Gemara explains that one should stretch out the word Echad long enough to have in mind that Hashem is king over the heavens and earth, embracing all four point directions, north, south, east, and west. According to Rashi, we have all this in mind while saying the Dalet, because that completes the word. Rabbi Yonah says that when saying the Ches, one has in mind the seven firmaments of the heavens and the earth, and when saying the Dalet, one has in mind the four directions. The Gemara then presents a machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yechna. According to Rabbi Yehuda, if you are walking around, you have to stop and stand still while saying the beginning of Krishma until Alav Avecha. According to Rabbi Yechanan, this applies to the whole first paragraph. The Gemara explains that Rabbi Yechanan is lishitasa. He's consistent with the view that he expressed earlier that the whole first paragraph of Shema needs kavana. Tan Rabban, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Zu Krishma Shel Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. The Braisa tells us that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, who was constantly involved with teaching Torah, would interrupt his learning only to say the first pasuk of Krishma. He would cover his face with his hands and say that pasuk. The Rashi explains that since he was teaching Torah to the public, he wasn't obligated to stop for Krishma, except for the first pasuk. There is a machlokes regarding whether Yehuda Hanasi would later make it up and say the rest of the Krishma after the Zman. Regardless, the Gemara tells us that he would always try to find some subject matter during his morning shir that referred to Yetzias Mitzrayim. He did this either in order to fulfill the daily mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, which he didn't get through Krishma, or if we take the view that he did say the rest of the Krishma later in the day, then he looked for a way to inject Yetzias Mitzrayim into his morning shir in order to fulfill Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim within the Zman of Krishma. The Gemara then tells us of several Amayram who gave instructions to be awakened only for the first pasuk of Krishma. The Rashi explains that this doesn't mean that they slept through the rest of Krishma. It just means that they would say the rest of Krishma even while drowsy, because only the first pasuk needs kavana, as Rava ruled earlier. At the end of our daf, the Gemara teaches that one should not say Krishma while laying on his back. Actually, one should never lay down on his back. But for Krishma, it's not even enough to lean over slightly, but rather he needs to turn to fully on his side.